You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
What is the plan for this episode?
I think it was Dan's idea, so let's throw it over to him.
I was just thinking that I would introduce us, as always, and then we go monster by monster. So we'll say, like, werewolves, like, what do we think? Any favorite movies?
Okay.
Are we actually scared of that monster? Is it, like, one of our best ones? And then we'll just go, like, creature by creature, and then any that we miss out, we'll just, like, have, like, a miscellaneous at the end. So throw anything that we've ever considered scary, you know, if it's scary creepy dolls or you know, the Ring, you know, with the weird Japanese girl with the hair and ghosts, right, and all that kind of stuff. All that stuff.
Bearing in mind, I don't watch a lot of horror films, this is going to be quite short on my part.
That's fair enough.
Or my part is going to be short, but anyway.
I did listen to all episodes of Epsilon 3 today that are out, all in a row, back to back.
Wow, nice. Excellent, good.
We're f***ing entertaining.
Hey, we're not bad, are we?
No. I would listen to that podcast even if I wasn't on it.
Welcome to the Cosmic Pizza Podcast, the show of all sorts that sorts all by serving up a slice of life. What is your order? Ah, I see. The special it is. We'll be there to deliver ASAP. Cosmic Pizza Podcast Special Delivery.
Welcome to the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. Darkness falls across podcast land. The midnight hour is close at hand, at least for two of the people recording the episode. Creatures crawl in search of stuffed crust to terrorize your neighborhood delivery service. And whoever shall be found without the soul forging going down. I see what I did there. And must stand and face the hounds of hell in editing corpses' shells. Welcome to the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. I'm your host, Dan, from the UK, and with me today is...
Paul from the UK.
And Sean from Canada.
I knew there was a reason. I knew there was a reason we get this guy in.
I had to do something. I had to try and figure out something. It's a Halloween special episode being recorded in September. And we are here to offer you a unique slice of life. And this week's episode, we are going to be talking about our favorite or least favorite movie monsters. Right. Before we get started into each of the monsters we're going to go through, thoughts on horror films and favorites so far? Well, standout favorites for you. Start with Paul.
I hate horror films.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm leaving the building.
You hate horror films.
I hate horror films. They scare me. Come on.
That's what they're supposed to do.
I'm a wimp. I don't like biting. I bite my tongue every time I jump. I hate that.
Next week, we cover comedy food movies and they make you laugh.
No, we need to do a distinction, because there's all kinds of different horror films. There's like straight up jump scare horror. There's body torture porn horror. There's supernatural horror, which I can't watch. I can't watch anything to do with exorcisms or hauntings or any supernatural stuff. It's just that stuff just, yeah, no, not good.
We'll come to a few films that you can put into the horror section. There's a comedy horror, there's a action horror, and then there's now downright horror. The three films, at least, that I can think off the top of my head, because pretty much I haven't really been that busy. I haven't really prepped for this episode, but also knowing that I didn't like much horror, there really wasn't much point in prepping. But no, I've picked three that I could watch again. One of them maybe at a push, probably the first horror film, or maybe the second horror film I actually saw properly. But anyway, over to you, Sean. You can do justice to this.
Okay. Well, would we consider the Scream franchise a horror film franchise?
I think so. That's under the slasher horror fiction, so yeah.
Okay, well, that works. And the Saw film franchise, that's torture porn. I'm good with that.
Yeah,
but don't give me any Conjurings. Don't give me any Annabelles. Don't give me exorcisms or poltergeist stuff. I can't do it. But
see, I'm the total opposite. I don't really see the point in the ghosts and ghouls and stuff. I'm not a big thing for mystical horror, but sci-fi horror. Now you're talking like proper.
Oh, like Event Horizon.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Stuff that could happen. You know, twist or change a few details here and there, but you know, aliens, that could easily happen, but ghosts, I'm not a believer, I'm afraid.
Well, as the boys at the Play on Nerds podcast would tell you, ghosts aren't real.
That's very true.
Yeah, and I think that's ghost films, I don't really. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of ghosts. I don't believe in them. There is one scene in one movie which I think is absolutely fabulous because it was a practical effect and not a CGI effect, which was Poltergeist, where the lady's with a child, I don't know the characters, in the kitchen, and she turns around to get something, turns around to go back, and all the chairs around the table are now on top of the table. All sort of done in one cut and absolutely fabulously done with lots of extras running on and putting the chairs on the table, etc., etc. But I like that purely because of the practicality of it. But scary thing. Yeah, and it's sort of, when you go back, you were not expecting that. You know, it's not a jump out and scream something biting your neck or whatever. It was a pure sort of, how the hell did that happen and what made it do it? You know, that I don't mind. You know, I get that sort of, if you want to call that horror, yeah.
Very true. Very true. There's sort of the body horror, I suppose, of the Cronenberg's variety. It's sort of in the same gore factor as the torture porn of Saw and all that sort of thing. But I quite like the body horror because it goes just that little bit weird. And I quite like weird. I don't know why. But yeah, again, as Paul was saying, with ghosts and things, I can't take it as seriously. So the Exorcists and the Annabelles and Conjurings and whatnot. So it just never really, I can watch it, but I don't see it as a horror film. I don't get scared at it. I might get the jump scare because, you know, the sound suddenly goes up and that sort of thing. But I'm not freaked out by it. I'm not thinking about it 3 weeks later. Whereas things like Alien, yeah, I'm thinking about that still now, 20 years on from seeing it.
So I've been watching the TV series Bosch. It's not a horror film by any means. It's a police procedural. It's really, really good. Really love it. Absolutely fall in love with it. So I'm watching this at work on a tablet in the middle of my lunch hour. And with no warning whatsoever, one of the main characters gets shot from long range by a high power rifle. And the bang is enormous. I jumped through the ceiling. Fortunately, there was nobody else there to see me do this. And it's right near the end of the program. So by the time I come back and sit down in the office and I'm sat there in front of the computer, I'm shaking. Just that one thing made, my heart's still going. I'm looking around for people with guns. I'm like, what the hell? Imagine what I'd be like with a horror film. I'd be disturbed for days, for weeks.
Months even.
Years. Mm. And in fact, one of these films we'll talk about later still disturbs me to this day. But yes, yeah, it's not a feeling I like. I'm getting old. I can't have my heart racing away like that.
But you can get that in, your average drama, like you say. You know, TV shows that aren't publicized as horror, you can get those kind of horrible, realistic, scary moments. When I think of Unbreakable, the movie Unbreakable, there's that one scene where the killer turns up at someone's house and just creepily says, "I like your house," and just forces his way through the door. There's, that is creepy. That is something that could happen and is more scary because it could happen. And it's something that still freaks my wife out as well to this day. So that whole scene is just something she cannot watch, even though it's not really strictly a horror film.
So what's the film with the Bruce Willis film where he sees dead, the young lad sees dead people?
That's Sixth Sense.
Sixth Sense, right. So we went to see that, not really knowing what it was. We didn't know whether it was horror or mystery or what. We just literally went in blind, and we sat there. And you get the scene where the it's right at the beginning where the camera's sort of panning through the house and goes around the corner and you think there's somebody in the house, you know, there's somebody there. Like, oh no, that's just the way they're going to make you jump or something. So I'm thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen now? And it comes around the corner and you see the feet of a person as it starts coming to thing. And I crapped myself. I thought, oh my God, no, I don't want to watch this film. So I closed my eyes and I woke up near the end, having not seen the film at all. I literally fell asleep at that point. I thought, I can't watch this. I'll just close my eyes and I don't want to be scared. I don't want to be frightened. I woke up near the end, not knowing what the film was about or why, you know, I missed the whole thing. You know, when people at the end say, oh, he was dead. I was going, what? He was alive when I saw him, when I left him. What? I don't get it. It's one of two films I have fallen asleep in the cinema.
Wow. Well, folks, if you want to go to our merchandise store, there will soon be a t-shirt saying Paul snores at dead people. That's what we'll be selling soon. Keep an eye out. Right. Shall we kick off one monster at a time? And we'll sort of talk about our favorite movies in that particular monster genre.
Let's do it.
Okay, then. Right. Well, we'll start off with the three classics. So the first one for me is werewolves. Any werewolf movies that you like, you're afraid of, or just can't stand?
Yeah. My favorite werewolf movie would probably have to be Silver Bullet from, I believe, 1985. Based on a Stephen King novel or short story or something, there's a kid, his legs don't work or he's something. He's in a little motorized chair anyway. And, I haven't seen it for quite a while, so I don't really remember too much about it. Have you guys seen it?
No.
No. Okay. Wow. Okay. I believe it's from 1985. Let me do a quick Google search here and I will tell you more about it. Okay. Yep. Definitely 1985. And synopsis is, in a small town, brutal killings start to plague the close-knit community. Marty Coleslaw, a paraplegic boy, is convinced the murders are the doings of a werewolf. Written by Stephen King and starring Gary Busey and Corey Haim. And that's all that IMDb gives me. But in 1985, I was 9 years old, so I probably saw it the next year. I wouldn't have seen it in the theater. But it was a pretty scary movie, and I watched it all the time. And full of jump scares, full of werewolves and transformations, and it's a classic of the 80s.
Mm.
Highly recommend.
I need to check that one out. Paul?
The two guys who are recording with me can see my backdrop in the Zoom that we're doing. So they can see. I have a lot of still shots on it from a very classic. And probably one of the only horror films that, one of two horror films maybe, that I do like. And it's The American Werewolf in London. Holds a couple of special memories for me. Apart from another film which we'll talk about later, and we've talked about many times before in this podcast, which I probably saw around about the same time, this was could have been the first proper horror film that I actually saw. So I would have been 16 when it came out, 17 when I saw it, by which time I had just started driving a car, probably 18, maybe 18, maybe it was 18 when I saw this. And the car needed fixing, so I had to take it into our local garage. A friend of mine recommended this garage, so I went in, and they had a video player in the corner that was playing The American Werewolf in London. Now, I didn't know it was The American Werewolf in London. I just sort of happened to glance across and the guy said, okay, we'll fix your car, we'll have a look at it, and sit down, watch the TV. So I started watching it. Just as we got to a fantastic scene, which the only thing I can find on the internet is this GIF, which I will show the lads. And if you recognize that scene, that's the shower scene for Jenny Agutter. I tell you what, that left an image on my brain that's stayed with me for many years. So I didn't know much about the film. I hadn't really seen it. And I didn't see anything really about it. So I thought, I wonder what that film's about. Obviously, it's in the title. But I asked the guys. He said, oh, American Werewolf. Okay, maybe I'll give it a watch. So we rented the film. And we watched it. Holy cow. talk about effects. All the effects are practical because there was no CGI in used in the film, right. And it wasn't budgeted for that. The film, if you haven't seen it, I suggest you do it. It's a really good film. Give you a quick synopsis. There's an American werewolf in London.
Really?
That's it, yeah. So David and Jack are two American college students who are backpacking through Britain when a large wolf attacks them. David survives with the bite, but Jack is brutally killed. As David heals in the hospital, he's plagued by violent nightmares of his mutilated friend, who warns David that he is becoming a werewolf. When David discovers the horrible truth, he contemplates committing suicide before the next full moon, causes him to transform from man into a murderous beast. Now, that's only really sort of half of it. These nightmares that he has contains the most disturbing scene that I'd ever seen, because I have had dreams like this. And I'm sure a lot of people out there have had the similar sort of experience, where you're in the dream, and you, in this particular case, he's in the bed, and suddenly through the windows comes all these dead Nazi zombies that start attacking him, and you know, so he screams, sits up in bed, and you see that when he sits up in bed, he's alone, and he's still in the bed, and he's like, oh my God, thank God for that, it was just a dream. And Jenny Agata, his nurse, comes into the room, says, oh, you're okay, and she starts to sort of calm him down. Next minute, the zombies pile through the windows again and start attacking her and him, and it's just like, oh no, and then he sits up in bed, and he's awake, and he's alone. It's the dream in the dream. And I've had that many times where I've been in a dream, thought I'd woken up, sweating, thinking, oh my God, that was a dream, only to find I'm still in the dream and something else happens. It's it is a horrible, horrible sequence, beautifully filmed when you watch it, you know, sort of step back from it and look at it. The effects, the makeup are unbelievable. Him transforming into a werewolf is incredible. I've got pictures on the backdrop here. Mm-hmm. Just have a look and Google these images. We have... over here on my right, there's an image of David as he transforms into the werewolf. He's half werewolf, half man, and he's lying on the floor. His body and legs are werewolf. His chest is all, you know, covered in hair and everything. His face is starting to change, and his arms are moving around, going, oh, I'm in pain. His waist is nothing. It is very, very thin. And I thought, when I saw this originally, I thought, how the hell have they done that? Has he breathed it in? Is there a body, I couldn't understand it. On my right, on my left, everybody else is right, you can see they've cut a hole in the floor and they've put the actor into the hole. And so his chest and arms are sort of out of the top, and the rest of it is all practical makeup. And obviously, they've made the bottom half of a werewolf. The actual werewolf makeup is incredible. The prosthetics, unbelievable. You got people with faces ripped in half. I mean, there's a guy, his friend who gets attacked by the werewolf has got half his face ripped. Again, brilliantly done with makeup. It's an incredible film for its time. I mean, it was. I should have written down who the director was, because he's a famous director.
Now, is this the one where he keeps seeing his dead friend and the dead friend continues to rot as the movie goes along?
That's right. And he says, okay. if it's John Landis. So John Landis directed it, which is why it's a bloody good film. So his dead friend is basically telling him, you need to die in order to get everybody who you've attacked to move on into the next part of the afterlife. So this is why he wants to commit suicide and you know, help his friends and you know to move on. So all the people that have been attacked by him or have been attacked by werewolves are all appearing to him, and he can see them. He eventually does die at the end of the film. Obviously, he has to, dying in the arms of the beautiful nurse Jenny Agata. So it's a cracking film. I mean, Dan, have you seen this film?
Yes, yeah. Many a drunken night coming home late. There's usually on Channel 4 or any other channel. This will be playing there for the Halloween audience or anything like that. And it's always that scene where you see the snout expanding as the makeup is going through. It just sticks with you. And yeah, it's a classic for a very good reason.
Sean, have you seen this film?
I saw this for the first time 2 years ago when a buddy of mine here in town threw the Timmins Horror Night Film Festival midnight showing, where every Friday night in October, that we would see a new and different horror film from the back in the day. And he ran that festival for 4 years, I think. Of course, last year we couldn't because of COVID, and I don't think we're having one this year either. But it's quite a popular thing. They rent out the theater. It's midnight showing. And I watched that for the first time. I think The Exorcist was another one, which I didn't want to watch, but I did anyway because to support my buddy. And Jaws was another one. And there was a few other ones. So yeah, I finally saw it 2 years ago for the first time.
Okay. Dan, what werewolfy films have you...
Well, American Werewolf would have been on the list. But I struggled with werewolves because I'm not really... I'm scared. I'm not really scared of that concept. Other movie zombies, anything, vampires, anything like that, that can get scary for me. But werewolves, I find it difficult. Probably because I'm of an age where there was one movie that dominated for me the werewolf genre, and it isn't scary in the slightest, other than maybe like two or three scenes where you see the transformation, and that's Teen Wolf. And because of Teen Wolf, I cannot be scared of werewolves. For me, you know, werewolves, they howl and dance on vans as they're driving around the, you know, listening to the Beach Boys.
Playing guitar,
and just going to get some kegs of beer for their friends who are underage. That's all that is. Oh, I'm winning at basketball, obviously.
Wasn't that Michael J. Fox?
That was Michael J. Fox. And you know, there's the comedy moment where he goes through the full transformation. You see the sweat glisten, you see the fingers extend, and it does do that kind of American werewolf thing. And it really shows how they were pushing the makeup, only to then undercut it with the comedy moment of like, dad, I'm in the bathroom, just leave me alone. And he's like, no, son, we need to talk about this. He finally opens up the door, getting the bravery to talk to his dad, opens it up just to find his dad, full glasses, tie on, jacket, you know, almost smoking a pipe if he could do, and he's going through the transformation as well, and it's like, son, we need to have a talk. And it's just brilliant. And forevermore, I cannot find werewolves scary. Whenever they are in other kids like monster movies, whether it's Hotel Transylvania or there's the family one that was on Sky a few years ago, they're always the butt of the joke. You know, someone throws out a bone and they start running off because they are just dogs. That's all they are. They're just really big dogs. They are the butt of the joke for all the other monsters. And so I find it quite hard to be scared by them. The only other thing I could think of was Underworld with Kate Beckinsale, but I'm pretty much only watching that for Kate Beckinsale. So I'm not right. Watching for the werewolves.
There were werewolves in that movie?
Yeah, apparently. Someone told me. But that's the only thing I could think of was Teen Wolf.
Yeah, that makes sense. I haven't seen that movie in decades, but yeah, it was a good one. I loved it. I probably watched it like 10 times back in the 80s.
There is one that I always mention, but no one seems to have ever seen it. It's called Dog Soldiers from the early 2000s.
Heard of it.
It was with Sean Pertwee, and he was leading a band of sort of soldiers up in Scotland for like a routine maneuvers and training exercise, only to have them attacked by rabid dogs, and eventually, you know, one of them becomes the werewolf, and gradually they are killed off one by one. It's very low budget, very independent. I only saw it, I think, on a friend's completely legal copy during 2002, I think at a Halloween party. And I've never been able to track down a copy since or seen it streaming anywhere else. So I didn't pick it because I don't know it that well, but I was really impressed by what they did on such a low budget for that as well.
Right. Yeah, there's quite a bit of them, like The Howling, and there's all kinds that I've seen but don't remember the names, because when you're a kid, you don't know the names of any of these things. You just watch it.
But over here in the UK, there is also a TV show called Being Human, which I think was the only time where they really seemed to do the werewolf genre right. It was a human, ghost, a werewolf, and a vampire all live in an apartment together, and it's right. All the interaction and what, you know, what if there was a real world where these creatures all exist, but it's not quite known to everybody. And that was one of the few times where I found werewolves actually scary.
Well, before we move on to our next topic, I think we should take a break and listen to a promo from another show on the ESO Network.
We're the Con Guys, coming to you straight from the nerdy heart of Hollywood, California. We are your home for news, opinions, and interviews from the world of Comic-Cons and fandoms, your ultimate insiders for all things Con!
to Dr. Geek's Laboratory.
Dr. Geek here with another reminder that the ESO Network is pro-science and pro-vaccine. We urge you to be a superhero and protect yourself, your family, and your fellow geeks around the world. Don't be fooled by the forces of evil and their anti-science misinformation campaign. Consult the latest CDC guidelines, your doctor, and get the COVID vaccine today.
Okay, well, moving on. Let's move on to the other one of the top three. It's vampires. Starting with Paul. Favorite vampires, least favorite vampires?
Not really seen too many vampire-y things that I can think of. I would have to think about that a bit more. No, I can't say I've seen too many vampire things. Only the what was the TV program the kids kids TV program that used to be on?
Buffy?
No. In fact, I have seen a couple of episodes of Buffy because my wife used to really like it. Leave it with me. I'll get back to you.
Okay, then. Sean?
Good question. I know I've seen a bunch of vampire films, but can I think of the title of any names? No, I can't. There's one that I watched not too long ago. Maybe it was at that same horror film festival where, what is it? There's a guy, he has an old house. The next house over is a suspected vampire.
Fright Night?
Maybe. That
and they're under the basement? It's got David Tennant?
No, this is older.
Or the original version, the 80s one.
Yeah, this is 80s. Maybe it's Fright Night. See, horror is one of my least well-known genres. If it was science fiction, action, I'd be all over it. But musicals and horror, just that's not my thing.
So, fair enough.
But yeah, I've always liked Dracula. Like he's a cool guy, especially on Looney Tunes when Bugs Bunny went to the hotel there and the guy flies into a bat and he always gets smashed by a brick and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's hilarious. But specific vampire films? I'm drawing a blank, although I know there's tons.
Yeah, it's this and the next of the big three are my two favorites, I think. Vampires, you know, Underworld again. I'm again watching for Kate Beckinsale, but again, it's vampires.
Blade, of course.
Blade. You know, your Blades, your action vampires. You've then
Ben
got
Helsing.
Classics.
Yeah.
Exactly. You've got everything. You've got the Hammer Horror version of vampires. You've got Bram Stoker's Dracula, Interview with a Vampire, you know, all those classic interpretations. And then you've got the sort of punk vampires who are in The Lost Boys and all of those kind of movies.
I hate The Lost Boys. I can't stand it. I think that was one of the other ones that we watched at one of the horror film festival night things. And I'm like, okay. And they're doing a remake of it now too. That's in the news lately. But I can't stand that. I don't know if it's because I don't like Kiefer Sutherland or what it is, but I just don't like The Lost Boys at all. Interview with the Vampire, I didn't like it because of Tom Cruise. You know, not a fan of Tom Cruise, but I think it's the actors that turned me off.
I think it's fair to say though that I think I'm more of a fan of vampires in TV than I am in movies. I seem to enjoy that more because of your Buffy the Vampires, because of True Blood, which is probably the vampire thing for me. If you've ever seen that.
I watched the first couple episodes when it was on the free preview channels and then it disappeared. I always wanted to get back to True Blood and I never watched Buffy. I was a huge fan of Sarah Michelle Gellar because she's friggin' gorgeous, but I just didn't care about the show. I didn't watch it.
See, in that one, I was watching for Alison Hannigan. So
I don't blame you because she's beautiful as well.
That's it. Yeah, so that's it. But True Blood, you guys will like it. Michelle Forbes is in season two.
Yeah, she is.
So there we go. But yeah, the again, it's another play on what if vampires really existed? What if they are actually among us? And they have been for a very long time, but now they've made this synthetic True Blood, TRU blood, that the Japanese have developed, which allows the vampires to live among us without having to feed on humans anymore and curb that addiction. However, you know, human blood is still so much better than this true blood substitute, and it still makes the vampires go crazy. And if they get a whiff of other mystical, magical creatures that live in the area around them, in Bon Ton, where the actual series is set, there are other advantages to feeding on the blood of, a fairy or a werewolf or something else as well. Well worth a look for both of you to see it. Vampires, there's all sorts as well, and there is a whole series of vampire movies that I know a lot of people don't like, where they sparkle, and I personally have not seen those, so I'm not going to be able to comment.
I was going to ask you whether you like them or not, because my wife has read all the books numerous times, she's watched the films numerous times. I wouldn't say she's a huge vampire fan by any means, but she's, she seems to have latched onto the issue. She likes Buffy as well, so I think she gets the genre. She likes the idea of it. I've seen a few of them, bits of it, because again, she's been watching it. I've never really watched one all the way through, but it seems to be full of lore. It seems to be full of good actors in it. Obviously, I'm a vampire. Sorry, I'm Batman. It seems to be done very well. So, I mean, I don't really know the genre that well to say whether these are correct or not correct, or whether it's just a made-up fancy. The acting looks good. The special effects look good. I can see why people do like it, and especially I think it's more aimed to, or certainly the female audience tends to get it a lot more. As TV shows go, I think it seems to be quite a popular version of them. But like you say, it is really Marmite. It's, you either love it or hate it. The TV show I was thinking of before was Young Dracula, which ran from 2006 to 2014, which the genre is sitcom, horror fiction, children's television series, teen drama, and supernatural drama.
Interesting.
There you go, it's on CBBC, BBC One. BBC Children's and Education. It's educational.
Very interesting. So for me, there is another TV show as well, Death Valley. It only ran for one season. It should have got more. It's set in LA, just around the Death Valley, where a real police force, it's set after the apocalypse, where all of these creatures suddenly appeared, whether it be zombies, whether it be vampires, anything. And they are now cracking down. They managed to fight back. They managed to maintain order. Now the vampires are the gangsters. The werewolves are the junkies. The zombies are still around every now and then, but you don't really see them anymore. If they do contain them, they have a special SWAT team who have to deal with them. And they all hate the SWAT team because they're like the super sexy branch of their police force. And it was a deliberate office style comedy. Fly on the wall comedy, where it was the police chief who is just over enthusiastic and wants to show how good his police force are, and they just deal with all of these creatures coming into the police station and all of the weird and wacky things they get up to. And unfortunately, it left on a cliffhanger at the end of season one, and it should have got a season two just on that cliffhanger, but well worth a look if you ever want to see it. I do notice something in the back as well of Paul's background as well that's vampire related, which we can come to in a moment, but this is to do with Carry On films as well.
Yes, there is. I think this is the best horror film, comedy horror film, because it's a what's the word I'm looking for? A Mickey take, a
parody.
Parody is the word I was looking for. Thank you, Dan. Of every horror film up to that point, which was 1966. This was filmed using, as all Carry On films did, the big stars of the day, minus one, which I'll come to in a minute. So Harry H. Corbett plays the main character. He's Detective Sergeant Bung. We have Jim Dale, who was in most of the Carry On films. He's like the bungling fallover guy, a lot of slapstick, really good actor though. Peter Butterworth, who's your sort of go-to bumbling idiot type person. I'm going to come to this lady in a minute. We'll go to Kenneth Williams, who is one of the biggest stars of the Carry On films. He was a huge comic actor at the time. A lot of radio series with him in it as well. These two guys up here are Oddbod and Oddbod Jr., which we'll come to in a minute, who are your go-to Frankenstein people. Joan Sim, who is the lady in the bottom corner here. Joan Sim was always the woman who was either the nagging wife or the woman that everybody wanted to take to bed. Take your pick out of which film it was. This guy here is interesting. It's Dr. Watt. Dr. Watt is a parody of Doctor Who and is played by John Pertwee, who became Doctor Who about 7 years later. So how about that? Which I only found out when I was doing a bit of research into this. So basically, Carry On Screaming, 1966. The sinister Dr. Orlando Watt, played by John Pertwee, has an evil scheme going. He sends out his plug-in Frankenstein henchman, Oddbod, to kidnap beautiful young women. I haven't got her picture anywhere in my background. Once he has them, he uses a petrifying liquid to turn them into mannequins, which he can sell to his local department stores. Fortunately for Dr. Watt, Detective Sergeant Bung is on the case, and he isn't very perceptive. He has his own problems with his wife, Emily, throwing fits about all the phone calls that, at night that take him to the police station, interrupting her sleep. Albert Potter, who is the Jim Dale character, Potter stirs things up when he reports that his girlfriend Doris has been snatched. When the police examine the site of the disappearance, they find that one of Oddbod's fingers has broken off. Back at the police lab, a scientist identifies it as a form of ancient forerunner of humans. He applies an electric current to see if the finger was recently alive, and this stimulates the finger to regenerate to a whole new creature, Oddbod Jr. The police dress one of the detectives as a woman, hoping to catch the snatcher. And hilarity ensues. So that's basically it. But when you look, there's a picture here I've got in the background. It contains Fenella Fielding, who is phenomenally beautiful, gorgeous woman, of a incredible actress of her time. Great for the Carry On films. She does comedy very well. There is a brilliant joke which has been used a number of times beforehand when she allows the detective to come in to have a look around, and he's asking a few questions, and she says, "Do you mind if I smoke?" And he says, "No." And she bursts into flames. Well, smoke starts coming out of her dress. You know, it's the age-old joke. "Do you mind if I smoke?" So it's full of silly things like that. It takes the mickey out of Frankenstein, Dr. Jekyll, all of the Hammer House of Horror films that have been on up to that time. When I first saw this, two things that I liked, because I was only about 8 or 9 when I first saw it, I think, was, wow, Fenella Fielding. And the second thing was, wow, Fenella Fielding. But I loved Oddbod and Oddbod Jr., who were voiced by the director, because all they ever say is, and just point at things, and they're sort of like lovable Frankenstein characters. I've got a picture here of Kenneth Williams right at the end of the film. He gets knocked over and falls backwards into this vat of petrifying liquid. And of course, he as he falls in, he comes back out again, and he goes, "Frying tonight," which is his big send off. And he falls back into the thing. When he actually fell backwards into the vat, he banged his head on the vat, knocked himself out, and was unconscious in this vat of liquid. They had to drag him out and make sure he was okay, and he was like, get it back again. So it's little things like that, which when you put your body on the line there, even as a comedian, you've got to be careful. And it's probably the funniest comedy film of its time, because it does parody everything up to that point, and it's got all your stereotypical people in it, your vampires, your werewolves, and all that type of thing. And it's just silly, and it's one of the least, probably the one of the least sexist of the Carry On films, I think, because although it's got the stereotypical nagging wife, which you have in those sort of 1960s, 1950s films, apart from that, it's all just taking the mickey out of horror films, so you don't really get too much in the way of boob jokes and ooh matron and all that type of thing. So that's probably one of the better horror films.
Yeah. Sure.
Never seen it.
Never.
Yes. Not something that would have gone over to America and done very well, I don't think. But especially if you don't know a lot of these people, and because a lot of them are sort of playing the same roles. It's in the Carry On films, they all play the same sort of roles, but they're adapted to either it's set in a police station, it's set in the army, it's set in World War II, it's set as a doctor, it's set in a horror film. But they all sort of still play their same characters in those roles. So they still play themselves. Sid James is always the lech that's always after the women and has that incredible laugh, which I will insert here, which I can't do. That's the one.
Honestly, I don't know where to look.
I do.
A man who used to like his drink was involved in a lot of. In fact, it was Barbara Windsor who was involved with the Cray twins, Sid James used to like a drink, and he said to a whiskey supplier, if I can get a bottle of whiskey into the film, could you give me a few cases, as payment? And they said, yeah, of course. So in one film, you'll see him with a bottle of whiskey. He might take a drink of it, and that's it. In the next film, there was a couple of bottles of whiskeys knocking around. And then by the end of it, in one of the later films, he opens a cabinet full, top to bottom, with whiskey bottles, all of this manufacturer, so that he could get it into the shot and get his free whiskey at the end of it.
Yeah, the Carry On films, it's so weird trying to describe it to anyone who hasn't grown up with them, because they were always there. And yeah, that was one of the ones that always stood out. It was always on at Halloween, or at least around that time. It's quite an easy one to come back to. It's sort of in the same league for me as Young Frankenstein, in the Gene Wilder sort of vein of that parody, trying to take in all of the aspects of the genre, different characters, all from different types of horror films, all coming together.
Yeah, I think
Marty Feldman and all that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like I say, it's one of the least offensive. I mean, normally they throw a few, funny names in there. The entendre names. The best one that they've come up with here is Constable Slowbottom, because he's probably always dragging his ass doing things. Yeah, so that's as close as they get with anything that's close to like double entendres. So, what about you, Dan? Have you got any sort of other genres or other types of? Monsters,
other types
maybe?
Of monsters. Well, I think to finish off the top three, I think it's going to have to be brains. It's going to be the zombies. It's got to be zombie movies. Starting with Sean, favorites, least favorites. Is it a genre you like?
I love zombie films, zombie TV shows, anything to do with that kind of stuff. It's all great. You name it. I Am Legend, not so much. But World War Z, The Walking Dead, the whole Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, Night of the Living, all those, they're great, they're fantastic, they're fun, they're ridiculous. I know there's just so many of them. I don't think I can narrow it down really, but they're fun, and it's also a. George Romero said it was also a take on the consumerist capitalistic society as well. So there's a life lesson in there for you as well. And I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on other zombie films, but there's a ton. There's so many.
Oh, yes. Yep. This was the one that when I put in zombie movies and tried to sort of try to get whittled down a top 10, it's just impossible. You can't. Just all of the X dead movies, Dawn of, Day of, everything. That alone fills up a whole top 10 list on its own.
And there's always that one guy who has to hide his bite because he doesn't want to get kicked out of the group. And he's always hiding his bite under his sleeve or under his boot or whatever it is that he's gotten bitten with from. And every single film or show has that every time. And it's kind of exhausting. It's a played out trope, but it's hilarious too.
I just don't get zombies at all. I don't understand. How do you kill something that's dead? I mean, I don't get it. Is the dead already? Isn't that the point? The dead?
Shoot them in the brain. That's it.
That's it.
But they've got to be dead. I don't understand it. How could they be How can things move?
The reanimated corpses.
The body's dead, but the brain isn't. Then they're not dead. You can put them on a machine and keep them alive. You know, I mean, you don't have to shoot them. You can just, like, these people. These are real people that you know. If he's not dead, then you can put them on a monitor and ventilator. And if the brain's still alive, then, you know, there's still hope for them. I mean, you have to have a bit more compassion. Don't just shoot
them. Warm Bodies. Have you seen Warm Bodies? That was a good one.
That was about showing compassion and just trying to see the softer side of zombies and that these were people once and they should be looked after. So there is that.
I mean, the only zombie film I've seen, and this is probably true, is Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's a classic.
I actually thought that was quite good. But yeah,
it is. Great.
And it's yet another parody. It's another parody and of all of that going through. Maybe that's it. Maybe you don't like horror. You just like taking the mickey out of it so that it's safer for you. That makes sense.
Yeah. I can wrap myself up in comedy. I can just keep nice and warm, soft and safe. Bubble wrap me when I'm watching a horror film.
Well, when I was going through the list of all these zombie movies, there is one, knowing that Sean hates not only certain kinds of movies, but musicals in particular, there is Anna and the Apocalypse, which is definitely well worth a look, as it is a zombie apocalypse musical.
Really?
Oh, yes. Set in the UK. It was actually written by a school student, and he tragically passed on. And after his death, they took his script and then adapted it and turned it into an actual independent movie. It's well worth a look. It's very
Is that recent?
Silly.
Is it recent?
It's very recent, yes. In the last 5 years or so.
And it's in a high school or something?
Yes.
I've seen it.
Oh, there you go.
It was great. Yes.
There you go. So the exception that proves the rule. You do like some musicals.
Musicals have their place as long as the genre that they're incorporated into isn't a pure musical. Then it's okay.
So I've got two more films that I would say are horror films. Again, I'm sort of scratching the barrel here for horror as such, but we did mention this on a previous episode, which I believe is actually out, as we record, is actually out next week. So it will already have dropped. It'll be episode 35. In the top three films of the 1970s, we spoke about one of Dan's favorite films.
Rocky Horror.
Yes. That's got zombies. And
it certainly does. Doing the time warp. Absolutely. Yeah,
because when my good buddy Renee was listening to it, he says, that 70s episode, you missed quite a few classic films. I'm like, well, you're going to have to wait for the next episode. And he's like, ah, okay.
Yeah, I saw that comment. Yeah. There's a reason why we missed out some of the good ones.
Right, because the 70s was such a long episode. We had to split it into two. And he said, yeah, the first half kind of just cut off abruptly.
Yes, it did, because it wasn't meant to. But yeah, there's that one. And of course, monster films. If we're going to go into big monster, if you're going to say that, of course, we just mentioned it, which is Jaws, which again is quite a, that's what you would call that horror, because there's limbs and things and big teethy things eating people and what have you. So, yeah.
Well, what about that? So what about sort of standard animals, but as horror? Any particular favourites?
So I've read the James Herbert book, The Rats and The Lair. Mm. That's pretty horrific. Because the descriptions of that are amazing. So it doesn't leave much to... Well, if you've got a good imagination, my God, it's a horrible book to read. There's also The Fog, which is another James Herbert horror film. Not necessarily The Fog of that was on TV or the film. It's the book, which is pretty good. I'm sure there was others. The Dark, which is a I've read a lot of horror, but I've not actually seen much on TV. So yeah, James Herbert does really good horror stuff. And
what Tremors? Have you seen Tremors? Does that count as horror, or is that more comedy?
That's creature horror, sort of animals that are mutated or things like that. That makes perfect sense to me. Yeah, Tremors. Yeah, I would not want to go into a desert or anything like that ever because of that movie.
Right.
Can't do it. Going back to zombies, though, just one other one is 28 Days Later for me.
Oh, yes. Not classic zombies per se, but...
But, yeah, when you're moving away from the dead zombies that don't make sense when you really think about it, to infected humans who are raged virused. They are infected and alive, but they are deadly. That is so much more scarier.
So similar to the crazies.
So altered humans. You could probably keep it as separate to zombies,
yeah,
even
think
though
so.
It's the same sort of idea. But yeah, altered humans or changed humans. So you could then move into things like Frankenstein, all the odd bods and things like that. So any favorite sort of altered humans or adapted humans?
Well, if you're talking Frankenstein, I'd go for the wacky races with the gruesome twosome. Can't think of anything else.
I'm going to say District 9, where Wickus turns into an alien. That's body horror for you.
That is body horror, yeah.
Or The Fly.
I have seen District 9. I don't remember that bit.
Yeah.
The main guy from the movie, he's gradually being transformed into a prawn.
Yes. 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 It's been a while since I've seen it. But yes, yes, you're right. I have seen that. Yeah, I saw it with Lee.
There you go. And The Fly, where he turns into a fly because he's called, the movie's called The Fly. The
original Fly is horrible.
Help me. Yes. Help me. No. No. Help me. What else do we have for body horror? There's probably a lot.
There's so many. I mean, even coming back to one of your favorites, Sean, RoboCop. That is human.
That is
a horror movie if you really think about it. Mm-hmm. It's a man who's had pretty much everything other than, what is it, his heart and one lung, is it, that's left of him, and then his brain.
That's it.
Yeah, that's a horrible idea. Even though I know that lots of people like to make it into like a Christ analogy and walking on water, I always thought of it a little bit more as a horror film.
I could see that. Now, not body horror, but monster films in general. Have either of you seen The Monster Squad?
Yes. Wolfman's Got Nards.
Yes, Wolfman's Got Nards. We need to find a virgin. Well, I'm kind of a virgin. No, you're not, you know. So Paul, you need to see it. It's from 1987. A group of young monster fanatics attempt to save their hometown from Count Dracula and his monsters. And now I watched this all the time as a kid, and I hadn't seen it for years and years. And probably about 2 years ago, I came across it again. And it's cheesy as all get out, but it's still awesome. And the town has, I think, until midnight the next night in order to save itself before it gets sucked into another dimension or something. I can't remember. I might be mixing it up with something else, but great film. Wolfman's Got Nards. We need to sacrifice the virgin. Where am I going to find a virgin in this town? You know, it's great.
It's so good.
Yeah, I think I've heard a lot of quotes from it because that sounds familiar, but no, I've not seen it.
You got it. It's great.
Absolutely. For comedy with zombies again, but it's a slight twist. There was an Australian comedy that came out a few years ago as well, which is one of my favorites, which I would definitely recommend everybody go and watch. It has Josh Gad, who was the voice of Olaf from Frozen, playing a despicable human being who is a children's entertainer. And this teacher takes her primary school children of about 5 or 6, the age bracket, to go and see Josh Gad at this farm, this petting zoo, only to have the zombie outbreak happen around them. And it's this very sweet story of a teacher trying to keep all of her children safe and calm and quiet during a zombie apocalypse, whilst Josh Gad is being the most despicable, horrendous, swearing human being you can think of, who is famous for being this cutesy character on children's TV. It's wonderful. It's a feel-good movie. It is not horror in any way, even though it's got grotesque zombies in it coming to get the kids. They never get to the kids. I want to say that. No kids were harmed. But there are some great parts of that movie and well worth a look. And it's little monsters and well worth a go for.
And don't forget the classic films from Lost Eye Productions.
Of course, yes. The Risen and The Risen Possession. The sequel that came through to that movie, and several others which are still in the mix as well. And they're all award-winning. There's quite a few of the awards that are still going through in all the horror fests. So going back to our last horror episode from last year, I can't believe we're doing our second Halloween.
Good grief.
Yep. All right, moving on to my last category, before we just have a general discussion, is my least favorite is aliens in general, horror films with aliens in them. For me, it is Alien. It is the one that still haunts my dreams. I cannot get that xenomorph out of my head, the idea of the face hugger all the way up to the queen. It's horrific. It's Geiger. It's everything that your nightmares are made of for me. And it will stick with me probably for the rest of my life.
Who doesn't love a chest burster?
Yeah, not my favorite at all.
No, I've seen, well, the first two, actually. But the first one, it was good. And then for some reason, I saw the second one when I was working away and I was staying in a hotel, and I came home after work and I just put the TV on and that had just started. And for some reason, although I hate horror films and wasn't really that enamored with Alien, it was one of those nights where you just sit down, you can't be bothered turning the channel over, you just sit down and watch it. And I got hooked into it and really enjoyed it, which is really weird because I shouldn't do. And it's the only time I've seen it. I probably won't go back and watch it again, but I do remember enjoying it quite a lot. Couldn't tell you a thing about it now other than the end, obviously.
What about The Predator? Would you consider that?
Yes, yeah, we went to see that. That's actually good. Again, it's not blood, guts, and gore. It's not blood, guts, and gore, but there is a bit in there. But yeah, it's aliens, horror, because it's an alien monster. You don't know its agenda, other than the fact it's trying to eat people. But yes, that was a good film. It's more sort of action film, though, isn't it? It's more,
I think it would be more action, yeah.
Schwarzenegger and his big bodybuilding buddies, getting together and in a muscle fest,
Any other favourite Alien movies?
Well, other than District 9.
Did either of you see Life, the one that came out a few years ago with Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal? A real downer of a movie. The ending, which I won't spoil, but I came away from that film just thinking, oh man, I feel really, really, really down. That is really depressing. Such a downer ending. Mm-hmm. Just not nice at all. It was supposed to be, I think, when they were making the movie, a Spider-Man prequel. This was the setup for how Venom got to the planet.
Right.
They find this life form on Mars. The mission is coming back to Earth, and it's all of the things that happen on the spacecraft down to Earth. And if that had been it, that would have been great. But the way they went with it, that eventually meant that they couldn't get the license to use Venom and make that connection. Just such a downer. If they made a sequel, I don't think I would want to watch it. It was just so depressing, but scary, very, very scary. And something about aliens, it just freaks me out. Unlike zombies, unlike vampires, unlike werewolves, aliens just get to me because it is a possibility. It could be that way. That life form could exist.
Well, aliens are definitely more realistic than monsters.
Yes, exactly. On a planet somewhere, that creature could exist, in theory.
What about monster aliens?
Oh no, that's just getting worse.
Alien monsters.
Alien monsters. Yeah.
Now we're getting to Pacific Rim territory. Now we're getting to kaijus and things like that. So real big monsters. Would you consider those? Would you consider that horror?
Or comedy?
Yeah, exactly.
Action adventure. It's maybe a mix of genres.
Is it scary if you can? Yeah, is it scary if you can see the whole monster? Because isn't it more scary that you don't see it?
That's the idea, yeah. Mm. The less you see of the creature, the more scary. Like The Thing. That's a scary film.
That freaked me out as well.
And that's an alien monster.
Not there was ever a possibility, but I'm never working in the Antarctic. Never. No.
Just for
that reason. Nothing else.
No. Not the cold.
Yeah. No, nothing to do with that. No. Purely because if there's an alien shape-changing creature that could take over my body. Yep, that's why I'm not going.
What about the Borg?
Ooh.
Are they like an alien horror?
Alien bionic zombies.
They just keep coming at you, keep coming at you, keep coming at you. They adapt, they keep coming. You can't stop them.
Sounds Swedish.
Very true. It does sound Swedish, yeah.
The Borg, like there's only one of them.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. It's just one of them.
But not the scariest thing in Star Trek universe. That is, of course, Neelix's cooking. So
with us. Yes.
True. Never going to beat that. Yeah.
Or species. What's the number?
8472.
Yeah.
That's the one. Yep.
I think we've covered it. I think we've covered every conceivable monster I can think of. Any monsters that aren't really covered by any of those topics?
Well, what do we got? We got zombies. We've got Frankenstein. We've got Dracula. What was the other one we were talking about?
Werewolves.
Vampires of Dracula. Yeah, we got the aliens. We didn't talk about ghosts, really.
Ghosts, yeah.
Ghosts is a good TV series. I like that. Everybody should watch that. It's great.
That is very good, yeah. And there's an American version, apparently. It's being developed in America. With it's a different set of time periods. So you've got American Civil War, you've got a businessman from the 80s instead of a 90s politician. I think there's a Native American instead of a caveman. It looks like it could be interesting. I have only seen the trailers, but I might give that a go.
They haven't really got the history to get a lot of ghosts in, have they? Native Americans, pretty much. That's as far back as they can go, really. I mean,
that's it. Yeah, that's all.
And then Abraham Lincoln, and you're there. Yeah, that's it.
Might be have a rogue dinosaur. There's quite a lot of T-Rexes that come from there, so maybe, you know.
Yeah, and the 1980s politician. I wonder who that could be. 1980s businessman. Mm. Yeah, instead of a politician, but could have been a politician.
Quite easily, yeah.
And who looks like a caveman. They could actually just have one person, couldn't they, really?
That's true. Yeah, once he dies.
Could be waiting a while. I mean, come on. If he isn't dead by now, he's going to live forever.
But for you, Sean, what ghost movie would you say freaks you out the most? Is it The Conjuring or is it Annabelle or something like that?
I haven't watched those.
Oh,
I refuse. I won't.
Ah, well, fair enough.
that's the thing. Like, it's just no, thank you, sir. Nope, I'm not going to do it.
You ever seen The Others with Nicole Kidman?
Nope, haven't seen that. I didn't watch The Ring.
That's a good one.
I did see Blair Witch Project in the theater. That was pretty much the extent of my limit for tolerance for that kind of stuff. So yeah, not really my thing at all.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, the only ghost film that comes to mind is Ghost itself, Patrick Swayze. But, you know,
that was scary when the creatures came out, the dark shadows.
From hell, yeah.
Well, the scariest part was when she was making that pot. I mean, he was right behind her and she didn't even notice. Anything could have happened. You know, could have made a vase instead of a plate. I mean, anything.
Yeah. That's him. Yeah. Right? Who's going to clean up?
It was pretty scary when Demi Moore and Whoopi Goldberg were making out.
Yes.
But they used Patrick instead of Whoopi. But, you know, it was pretty much implied that it was Whoopi and Demi. So.
No, for me, the scariest bit is the guy on the train, is the ghost on the train. You got to take all your rage, all your hate, push it way down. Absolutely hate him. Oh, scary, man.
I haven't seen that film in years.
For a reason.
Yeah. So next year for our Halloween special, we are watching Ghost.
Have you seen the Cloverfield movies?
Ooh, I've seen the first one. I know that there are two others. There's
Lane. There's Cloverfield. There's 10 Cloverfield Lane, which is excellent, and then the Cloverfield Paradox, which was pretty awful.
Now was that set in space?
I've only seen it once. They were on a space station or something.
I think I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, I think Netflix paid $50 million for it. It came out after the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. And it was a big deal that they had it and it didn't go to theaters. And it was not good. But the first one, that was a scary film. And it was excellent. And that was Alien That's Monsters true. Too.
And you didn't see it. That was the main thing. It was a kaiju, something as massive as Godzilla. But you didn't see it. So it made it scary.
You saw glimpses, but never a really good shot of it.
But it was all part of that shaky cam, post Blair Witch,
found footage kind of thing.
What about Stranger Things? Would you consider that horror?
Oh yeah,
I would. Mm. Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. Upside down and all.
What
that,
do you classify
sure.
that? Is that aliens because it's parallel dimensions, or is that a whole genre of its own?
Monsters.
I think it's its own thing almost. Mm.
Well, it's a monster. monsters.
It's alternate dimension monsters.
Yeah, there we go. It's invented a new genre. Because I can't think of anything else that fits that.
Yeah, I'll never go into a swimming pool again.
Yes, that was not nice.
Yeah, that was good. I mean, again, with not knowing really what that was, and then starting to watch it, and you know, again, they kept it all a secret as to what the monster was. You didn't see it until right at the end. You only saw little bits, tentacles and things. So you don't, you know, that's the worst part about it, is you don't see it. Unfortunately, the second season, you knew what it was, and it was, you. So it was, the suspense was not there. It was a little bit.
Oh, Super 8. Have you seen Super 8?
That's good.
That was good. That was an alien or a monster or something. I haven't seen it in a while, but that was yeah, pretty freaky too.
It's very Steven Spielberg. It's three kids. They're making their own detective movie, and it's all low budget. And then the alien comes to their town, and it's filmed as if it's supposed to be a horror film, but then the alien sort of starts showing that it's more of a alive and sentient, and the kids kind of befriend it, but also are quite scared of it. It's very good. It's very good.
It's directed by J.J. Abrams, in homage to Steven Spielberg, and I think he was an executive producer, and it has a very Stranger Things vibe to it.
Mm, absolutely.
What about Pitch Black?
Oh, Pitch Black.
And the Riddick world and those monster aliens on that planet. And he's a pretty bad creature too himself. So
I think I've seen Chronicles of Riddick more than I've seen Pitch Black. I don't think I've seen that often. But I liked it. I liked the idea.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's our audience of six people screaming at us, what about this film? What about that film? How about this show? You know?
So
there's so many, we can't keep it all in our head.
Well, I mean, if they want to get in touch with us, how are they going to do that, Paul?
Well, I don't like the way these lights are flashing.
Oh, they're conjuring something.
Aliens, monsters, somebody. Is that you, grandmother? I lost a bulb. There you go. How would they get in touch with us? You can email us.
Or use the seance.
Yes, use a Ouija board. And contact the Cosmic Pizza Podcast at gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page. Look for us on Facebook, the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. Also have a sister podcast, which is out and about at the moment, which is the Epsilon 3, which is a Babylon 5 rewatch podcast. We have an email account for that, which is the Epsilon 3, that's THREE 3, at gmail.com. And we also have a Facebook page for that. We are gaining listeners as we speak. We have a number of listeners, one in Greece, which I don't believe, but I think that's some sort of bot or something like that. 50% of our listeners are from Canada. So that's Sean and Renee, and
Sean and Renee.
Richard from Australia is now listening to us as well, which is good. I can't remember his name half the time. Don't know why. So we are gaining listeners as we speak, and there's also been interest from other people. Mark Stamper was interested. I don't know whether he's listening or not. I don't know whether he listens to this podcast or not, but that'd be good if he did. He's an old podcasting buddy from the 10 Forward days.
Well, there you hear it. Listeners, if you want to tell us about your favorite movie monsters, movies that we completely forgot to mention in this episode, get in touch with us. And all that remains is for me to say that the corpse in the coffin is cold, and we hope that you have sucked the blood to the brim. Join us next week as we cover some subject. I have no idea what it is, and I'll check the...
I believe it is this is episode 37. Episode 38 will be our favourite stand-up comedians.
Ooh. It's from horror to comedy. There we go.
Subject close to my heart.
Mm. And join us next week.
For more excitement than adventure.
Yes.
In every bite.
In every bite.
Of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. Oh, put that tickling stick down, Dan.
We've been your deliverers today. Please leave a tip at the door by subscribing for future deliveries, rate and review our service. And we hope you come back for more helpings next time. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and TikTok by searching for the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. If you would like to send us an MP3 file, you can email us on cosmicpizzapodcast@hotmail.com, and we'll catch you on the next episode of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.